Hey, you guys, and welcome back to the Steel Wars Hyper Chat. It is Tuesday, the 8th of September, 2020. Double the 20, double the fun. Whew, so close, so close. How are you guys doing? We had a public holiday yesterday. So, hey, you guys, and welcome back. Sorry about that. Just had myself pop up in another screen somehow. Public holiday yesterday, so no live stream. But we are back for four more days of fun Star Wars streaming action also on the podcast. So how it's going to work with the audio version of this, the first episode of each week's daily Hyper Chat will go on the regular feed, and then the audio will be kept over for Patreon members. But today, The Mandalorian Strikes Back. Woo! EW coming correct with a cover story on The Mandalorian. Two different cover options for you magazine sickos out there. We've got, this is the Barnes and Noble exclusive with Din. And then lower down, you have got Baby Yoda, Yoju, if you will. And I know several of you will. And he's down in the sack. The first cover that you'll be able to get everywhere else is the far more Baby Yoda, Yoju, if you will, centric cover of him curled up next to the Mandalorian's little leg. Whew. Trey Cause, he's in the chat saying he's looking good in on that cover, and it's so fun. Been waiting so long for more news about the Mandalorian. Haven't we all? Haven't we all? Also, what this means, you guys, is the road to the trailer is getting more paved, narrower, wider. We're going faster. We're going past the freeway, and it says trailer, and it says, you know, 600 miles, and then you have to work out how long that is in days. I don't know. I don't know. But very exciting. We're going to go through the new photos. There's a few key things. My two sort of big takeaways from this, for different reasons, as Pedro says, we start very directly after the first season, and he's going into very dangerous territory. So I sort of didn't have much of a clue about if there'd be a time jump or not. I didn't think there would be. And saying we start very directly after the first season is very interesting. Like that. The other thing is confirmed return of the AT-AT. The AT-AT's back. Cannot wait to see where that turns up in The Mandalorian. But how do I know the AT-AT's back? Well, we'll go through the article and There's a not so subtle hint, so I'm sure everyone else picked it up. Let's go through some of the photos, and then after that, we'll probably hit some live stream comments. Let us just get this up. All right. Bang. If again, if you are listening to this on the audio podcast, click the link in the show notes, and it will open up the YouTube to this, and you can watch along with us. So this, the whole point of this new schedule of show is to sort of, for those that don't have time to scour the internet and Twitter, the fun Star Wars things, that I will bring them to you daily. And obviously this is an easy one to start the week. First photo up, Rogue Squadron, Cara Dune, Din Djarin, and Greef Karga on the move in EW's first look of season 2 Mandalorian. And they just look like they're coming out of an elevator. The tightness of the crop of the photo sort of makes it look like sort of like a low budget fan film with very recognizable faces. But they're keeping a lid on where they're arriving. But I don't know what Mandalorian. I'm not sure what his emotions are through this. Rick Villanueva says it looks like the interior of a Star Destroyer, which is tantalizing. Thank you, Rick. Grief and Cara Dune are looking very concerned and apprehensive. And the Mandalorian's got his little pistol out. His little blaster pistol, you guys. I do have to also comment. These pun titles. Let's rate them. They're pretty good. If you like puns. A fight in shining armor. And we've got... looks like he's in a bit of a shootout or trying to avoid a shootout. The Mandalorian on a Tatooine looking set. Baby Yoda, Yoju, if you will, is crouched behind his shoulder. The caption reads, Mando and the child hang out. Ironically, it's the very small physical gesture, those specific indentations in the voice that make him compelling. Pascal says, a little goes a long way. So talking about the Mando there. Oh, this Star Wars pun. There's a picture of Cara Dune. She's leaning against a pole. Looks like maybe on Tatooine again. Everything looks like Tatooine, you guys. But there's definitely Tatooine in this season. We would imagine by one of the later reveals. But we've got Cara Dune leaning against the pole. And the caption is Dune Sea. James Hibbard, are you writing this of EW? Because you're killing the game. Cara Dune returns. The first season was just the beginning of a huge story. They take the gloves off even more in season two, Carano says. Oof, James, VW. We've got a picture of Greef Karga looking apprehensive in a maybe a Star Destroyer-esque environment, maybe just a cargo ship, maybe a caravan. I don't know. It's tightly cropped. And the caption is, good grief.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Weathers says you'll get a chance to see him in a different light and a side of him that you didn't see last time. Now, Greef Karga is one of the great Star Wars characters. This Carl Weathers was made for Star Wars. Next up, we've got a picture of Giancarlo Esposito as Moff Gideon. Again, very tightly cropped to the face. Background's out of focus. Killing me. This one's titled Gideon's Crossing. The imposing Moff Gideon, Giancarlo Esposito, has had access to all this great technology at his fingertips. And he knows how to use it, which just made me think of this. She never begs. She knows how to choose him. All right, that's enough of ZZ Top. That Legs music video actually is... I don't know what's going on there, but it's a wild, wild scene. But that's very exciting. Moff Gideon. Oof. Stoked. Oh, gosh. All right. This is a photo of like a swoop bike, speeder bike, seemingly on Tatooine. The Mandalorian's riding it. Yoju, if you will, is in a little pouch in the back, and it is titled... Speeder Tyke. Woof. Mando takes the child for a ride on a speeder bike. Good grief, we've done that one. Where else have we got some? Oh, Bantha Trax. Sweet shout out to our friends in the UK at Bantha Trax or Fantha Trax. It's close. It's close. It's a typo. How is it so close? And we've got a Tusken Raider on a Bantha. I'll just scroll down on that Bantha. The question is, how is that banter there? Did those reference loving, we've got to do it how we did it back in the day, boys, of Favreau and Filoni, fur up an elephant for this? Back when we did it in 76, that's how we loved it. Loved our banthers with trunks underneath. But there's that. Very exciting. The I do have to say, the sort of introspection with the Tusken Raiders, the people and their position, their social position on Tatooine was a very good addition, I felt, to Tusken Raider backstory, or as serious people call it, lore. Gotta honor the lore, you guys. And then, so that's all the new photos. Let's go through a few highlights of the actual article. Actually, we'll see what's happening in the live chat. Angelo James says, love the new pics. Look like everyone is ready to roll. Trey says, looks like a publicity shot. Well, they're all publicity shots. Come on. Come on. Angelo James also says, Hasbro, you made the land speeder for kids. Now it's time for the speeder bike. Oh, please. Yes. A ride on speeder bike. Like the old Huffy one. One of my true vintage collecting grails. It kills me I didn't get that land speeder. The ride on kiddie land speeder when they were Toys R Us was closing down. I think they're selling for like $99. Ugh. But let's go into this Mandalorian article. Baby Yoda was somehow in France. That's what tipped it. It was December 29th. The Mandalorian had only been airing for about a month on the Disney Plus when showrunner Jon Favreau saw an online photo of a large mural halfway across the world. The street art depicted his show's wide-eyed, force-sensitive character peering solemnly from under a bridge. That was the moment, Favreau says, when he realized his series was becoming a phenomenon. The Mandalorian hadn't yet aired in France or anywhere in Europe for that matter. Like, that's awesome. There is a Yoju bit of street art just up on Melrose that I walk past pretty much every day. I love it. So that's sick. I love Favreau's interpretation of what this means, though. He says, the show wasn't there, Favreau says. Something was going on where people were connecting with the characters, with social media, allowing them to see aspects of the show before they even knew what it was. Now, I think it's very kind of Jon Favreau to suggest that someone that circumvents the law to produce their art also wouldn't circumvent the law to view other art that wasn't available as yet in their territory. But yeah, I'm sure it was the GIFs. To me, that says they should have released it worldwide, but we're done with that. The article continues. I'll just read out some highlights. Baby Yoda, Yoju, if you will. Doesn't say that there, but it should. Which Disney has fruitlessly tried to persuade the world to call the child, as its actual parents are unknown, is species considered rare and mysterious, was only part of the frenzy. Talks about the different reactions to the previous Star Wars films. Described Solo, a Star Wars story, as why was the fan reaction, which... Do you not know why? To tell a story and make money. So that's normally why. Earning 15 Emmy nominations. The 53-year-old Favreau, who also helped launch Marvel Cinematic Universe in 2008's Iron Man, managed to inject life into a franchise that some of the media had speculated was about to fade out of existence. Wow. Like the OG Yoda in Return of the Jedi. People think it was going to fade. It was maybe just going to chill out. And a TV show. The last time anyone had attempted live action Star Wars for the small screen was 1978's infamous holiday special. Are you denying a caravan of courage and Ewok adventure? Are you one of those battle for Endor denialists? You should be ashamed of yourself, man that writes for EW. Let's name and shame. James Hibbard, what are you doing? The Ewoks battled for Empire, the Endor. I'm so upset. Whew. A project referring to the holiday special that the mild man Lucas declared he wanted to track down every copy and smash it with a sledgehammer. And I always thought he called them laser swords, but whatever. So what did The Mandalorian do right that the other Star Wars titles did not? Favreau believes the lower expectations of television versus the movies helped give his show an edge. I think it was the fact it was a live-action TV series for the first time. Having worked on bigger, higher-profile films, there's much different set of standards which are judged by. We've benefited from the smallness of our world. Yeah, definitely agree with that. I know the other thing was, I wasn't expecting much because of all the press material. I sort of, like, it was set in Star Wars, but something was missing. And, as I worked out at the end of the first season or episode, I should say, what I thought was missing suddenly was introduced. And that was the Force in a new and exciting way. Rick Valvanuva, Scott Mendelson did not write this, Rick. James Hibbert did. Lay off Scott. Come on. God, you think you're a regular Zack Snyder turning on Mendelson like that. Okay, let's get into some Filoni stuff. Another key factor, Favreau says, was the creative input of executive producer and director Dave Filoni, who was closely mentored by Lucas while helming 7 seasons of the acclaimed animated series Star Wars Clone Wars. Favreau does the bulk of The Mandalorian's writing, bringing his story sense that he refined over the years of working within the Marvel Universe and on Disney projects like The Lion King, while Filoni keeps him on track as the arbiter of what works in Star Wars. Loving what I'm hearing. Loving what I'm hearing. Quite simply, we didn't overthink things, Filoni says of the show's debut season, which inspired by the opening act of A New Hope. And straightforward compared to the frenetic tangle of characters, story threads, and callbacks that filled 2019's saga concluding The Rise of Skywalker. George started with these very iconic characters whose relationships are very clear and then introduced what's at stake. For us, the fate of the child. An audience tends to enjoy a story by sticking to tropes and characters they understand, like a gunslinger in the Old West. So it was a clear story and a fun adventure, even if you've never seen anything in the Star Wars universe. You're singing it. You're singing it, buddy. This one is sort of pressed as a compliment, but it's sort of like, oof. Don't add this to your Tinder profile if you do this as well. Filoni's mind is so deep into a galaxy far, far away, he often expresses his thoughts in Star Wars metaphors, such as describing his partnership with Favreau as bringing balance to the Force. Which, I don't know, maybe that's a sweet pickup line. Hey, want to bring balance to the Force? Tip the cowboy hat. All right, now this bit is perfect. This is, I feel like, the perfect scenario for world-acclaimed directors to come in and write Star Wars stuff. This is how it should be. Favreau breaks down the process. I'll come up with ideas, and sometimes Dave will say, you can't do this in Star Wars. Then I'll cite examples from the movies or Clone Wars to try use as a justification. I'm like a lawyer talking to a judge. I am to him as he was to George. I won't do anything without Dave's approval, and to his credit, he understands that Star Wars needs to be fun and ever evolving. That's how you get good, like, connected Star Wars content, you have a Jedi Master on the Jedi Council, like Filoni, and you have then a, you know, world-renowned filmmaker bouncing ideas off him. And if something is in contrast to something in Star Wars, whether it's established technology or storylines, or this is possible, that's not possible, they can then say, maybe not that. How about we weave around, do it like this, and you're telling the same story, but you're not contradicting things that are already set up for the sake of contradicting them. You know, I would just off the top of my head cite Poe's backstory, you know, shifting around in the Rise of Skywalker as something that I was sort of like, you could have established that he had those connections without sort of stepping on his previously established backstory. And I feel like you need the writer director on like a very similar, very close footing, responsibility wise. So there's sort of like an even relationship. So the Star Wars Jedi Master has some like veto power in what's going on. And like, this is why it turned out so good, in my opinion. The season concluded with the Mando embarking on a search for the child's own kind. Gideon was revealed to possess the mysterious ancient black-bladed weapon, the Darksaber. Expect the Outer Rim to get a lot more crowded in season 2. And this is getting a lot of speculation that this is mentioned in a, you know, a very PR-heavy article for Star Wars, Lucasfilm, Disney in Entertainment Weekly. While Disney has not confirmed any new cast members or their characters, there's a rogues gallery of actors who seem optimized for a Comic-Con panel reportedly coming on board. Rosario Dawson as Clone Wars fan favorite Jedi apostate. That's a new word for me. Ahsoka Tano. And yeah, that should be no surprise to anyone. Tamira Morrison, who played Jango Fett in the prequels, playing presumably some version of a clone trooper or the iconic bounty hunter Boba Fett. Katie Sackhoff, Battlestar Galactica, as a live-action version of Bo-Katan. And also Michael Biehn, the Terminator, and Timothy Oliphant, justified as unknown characters. Gina Carano says some of them are true, some of them are not true. Now, I did a quick asking around, and it's not necessarily locked in stone in any form that Lucasfilm has veto of the information in here, because, you know, there's a few negative bits of editorialization about the Star Wars brand in the article. Very light. Maybe they did. Maybe he got approval to say this is reportedly what's happening. But it's pretty juicy. And one of the people I talked to about if they would approve it also said they're pretty sure they're all in it. So very exciting. And then there's this like weird stuff in it where it's like, this isn't even strange for a film or a TV show. Carino notes that the heightened security included actors getting scripts only for their own episodes and being ushered to sets in black cloaks and hoods like incognito Sith Lords. They were doing that back in the 90s. I remember at Fox Studios for Attack of the Clones, they quickly realized there was a lot of eagle-eyed snappers from somewhere, and they had to cover up Ewan McGregor. I remember seeing a photo of him covered up, and the Jedi Starfighter. I remember they had a sort of balsa wood version of that. And I was like, is that a giant model Star Destroyer? No, it's a Jedi Starfighter, which is pretty sick. This is, again, this is more good new stuff. The new season is about introducing a larger world, a larger story in the world, says Favreau. The story's become less isolated, yet each episode has its own flavor. And hopefully we're bringing more of scope to the show, adds Filoni. Everything gets bigger, the stakes get higher, but also the personal story between the child and the Mandalorian develops in a way that I think people will enjoy. And while the first season's episodes strictly focused on Mando, sorry, I've just got a pop-up come up here that I've got to get rid of. Season two adds new storyline angles. As we introduce other characters, there are opportunities to follow different storylines, Favreau says. The world was really captivated by Game of Thrones and how that evolved as the characters followed different storylines. That's very appealing to me as an audience member. Listen, Jon Favreau, I don't know why I sound so angry, but I'm just amped because that sounds awesome, because that sounds very appealing to me as an audience member too. Fav! Now, here's a question. There's rumors of all these other shows starting. Will these separate storylines split into separate shows that then later on can intertwine? You know, I see all those DC TV shows, the Flashiverse, and they have all the intertwining events. And like, I don't watch any of the shows, but I'm jealous. I'd love a crossover event. Come on. I remember when they had a crossover event in like the Marvel Star Wars, and I was like, oh, this is sick. So I would love that, but either way, splittering off, going off into different stories, then coming back. Oh, yes. So stoked. The larger scope was aided by having fewer startup costs for the second round, which meant a greater percentage of the show's big budget, estimated at $100 million for the first season, will wind up on the screen. So, you know, they've invested in the technology, in the sets, in, you know, a lot of the production design. They're saving a lot of cash. They're getting on the field running. I'm pumped. I can't wait for this. I really want to watch this. I need to watch this soon. I'm so excited. We've got this to be excited for. So good. Once again, there'll be 8 episodes of different lengths, and directors include season one standout Rick Famuyiwa. And I really apologize for my pronunciation of that. Carl Weathers, which is pretty sick. Franchise newcomer Robert Rodriguez. And for the first time, Favreau himself, who helmed the season premiere airing October 30. So that is very interesting. As I mentioned at the top of the show, this quote in the midst of this paragraph: as Mando and the child continue the quest, expect the bounty hunter to face a series of obstacles that will increasingly challenge his paternal loyalty to his ward. We start very directly after the first season, and he's going into very dangerous territory. Pascal, 45, says he's very much a passenger to the experience in unexpected ways, not knowing what's to come, not knowing how much or how best to protect the child. We don't know how far he will go to do that, and they're finding new ways to push the envelope. Adds Filoni, we think we know how the characters are going to react, and it can be surprising how they do react. Now, let's talk a bit of Moff Gideon. Esposito says, I will be going toe-to-toe with Mando. Also adding, it's an iconic battle. This, it's going to be so good. I love Attack of the Clones, partly for finally getting to see a true showdown between Jedi and Mandalorian that was, you know, briefly hinted at and in Return of the Jedi. To then watch a similar battle with the roles reversed, you know, there's a lot of hints that Moff Gideon is a Force user. Ooh!
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
He adds, maybe there's an opportunity to get him to fight some battles for me. You may think I'm a villain, but I'm trying to harness some energy and some powers for a path that could be the best for all. You'll get to see him to be somewhat a diplomat and somewhat of a diplomat and more of a manipulator. And as for the Darksaber, in the new episodes, Gideon demonstrates he's quite adept at wielding it. It was so exciting for me to be in a show where I can wear a cape and own it. Hey, mate. Listen, Giancarlo Esposito. You wore a cape and you wore it well. And you stand tall. I feel like you're on... Let's talk about this now. In the chat, Mount Rushmore of Star Wars cape wearers. Hit me. Hey, mate. Straight up. Not even going to muck about. We've got Mendo. I'm going with Moff Gideon. I feel like he kills it. You've got to add Darth Vader. Another cape wearer. I tell you who another good cape wearer is, and that's, what's his name? Ultra Magnus in that Transformers cartoon. Am I right, Emily Lind?
Yeah.
Who would be the fourth? Oh, Count Dooku. Not doing too badly. There was that sort of bounty hunter creature that had one. He was a robot at the end of The Last Jedi. No, not The Last Jedi, The Rise of Skywalker, that I very much enjoyed. All right, we've got some... okay. Rabler says, and I hope I'm... I've got to talk to you on Twitter about how to properly pronounce your name because I love your input. I can't argue with this. Vader, Krennic, Gideon, Lando. Angelo wants to know if ponchos count. Hey, if you could rock a poncho like a cape, you get on Mount Rushmore. But, and then Tripper Ninja also thinks Dooku is a solid pick. We'll ask around on that. Who is the... maybe we can do like a March Madness battle between... We'll have all the nominations. We'll just totally look too much into this horrible thing. And then when we work out the Mount Rushmore, oh, this is classic steel, we can release a T-shirt of it. Who's with me? Okay. Cape and own it. Sorry, I really got off track there. And where I can have a lightsaber and really own it, says Esposito 62, who will also command a larger vehicle. Hint, hint. So that to me, hint, hint, or is it HTHT? I'm fully Christmas morning on this. Because to see an adder in a new context, like the way that we saw the ATST, you know, I'm sure they'll do it in a different way, but they just, oh. Rick says no love for Biggs. Ooh, damn. Sorry, Alex. I didn't mean to step to such a great YouTuber with his favorite character. But I didn't mean it, but it's a great add-on, I have to say. Biggs. And spend, this is Esposito talking, some one-on-one time with the child. And then in brackets, James Hibbert editorializes. And I have to go with him on this one. The idea of Gus Fring facing off with Baby Yoda is alone worth the new season's price of admission. And I guess that price of admission is about $20. So, yeah, I'd pay $20 to see that. Favreau's original mad brilliant conception of the child as a key character was one of the earliest discussions with Filoni. God, I like what I hear. And the idea at all at first seemed like a truly radical and perhaps heretical notion. When he brought up in the very beginning of doing this, the child be of Yoda's species, I was like, oh, that's very tricky. Because there's never been this before outside of Yoda and then Yaddle in the prequels on the Jedi Council. It's a sacred thing. I can't do for you. We just have to be responsible when we're telling a story with what we're deciding to do. Now, this line is very in touch. The fans want to know things are calculated, careful decisions. Then, if you tell a good story, most of the time, they go with it. Hear, hear. A lot of stuff about how cute the child is, people fan out on him, it's like a real character, all that good stuff. George Lucas coming to the set. He would be giving Dave a hard time about how many setups he was getting and how fast he was shooting and urging him to go faster. Favreau says he was like a boxer's corner man coaching him, but he always had a twinkle in his eye. That's good stuff. That's good stuff. Other familiar supporting players like Kaga are back too. The bounty hunter is on a quest to be more legitimate, aren't we all? Weather 72, but I'm not sure there isn't something in the back of his mind that isn't more self-involved. Kaga has grown closer to mercenary Cara Dune to the point they almost finish each other's sentences. While former MMA fighter Carano, 38, who made her dramatic TV debut with this role, says she's more confident this time round, explaining she was helped by Pascal, agreeing to remove Mando's helmet during their scenes whenever the camera was only on her. I really wanted to see his eyes, which really helped. So she asked him to take his mask off to film. You cannot write stuff like this, for those that know what I'm talking about. Other stuff about Pascal saying little gestures mean a lot. And this is very, very telling. The breakout success of season one has fandom anticipation for the new episodes running extremely high. I mean, look at me. If Favreau is correct that The Mandalorian benefited from low expectations, there will be no such grading on a curve this time. Yet nobody sounds worried. I have no question fans are going to like this season even more. Everything's in there, Carano says. If you're a Star Wars fan, you're going to get to see the things you've always wanted to see. Really? Well, that to me says that we're going to see what I've always wanted to see. And that's the return of Toro Calican. Woof! I love it. Toro's surprise return, you guys. That's this season's Baby Yoda, Yoju, if you will. So I'm glad they're keeping a lid on it. In the closing line of the article, as Filoni reliably puts it, you want The Empire Strikes Back to be better than A New Hope. I'd like to think he wouldn't say that lightly. All right. That is so exciting. Starkiller, I can say I disagree about that. So that is we are now on the road to the Mandalorian premiere, and we're going to be live streaming all week. I'm trying to work out a little bit of a like a regular thing each day. Normally, hopefully, on Thursdays, Fridays we'll do the Q&A. That will be pre-recorded, but you can live chat, and I'll try to live chat as well. Thursdays, each Thursday, we're going to be joined by our great friend. And he literally saved the Clone Wars, you guys. It's Corey Van Dyke from the Kessel Run Transmissions. He'll be joining us every Thursday, except for the first Thursday, which he is doing something else. So he'll be here on Wednesday. So tomorrow, we'll be talking to our boy of the Corey Stories. And he's fired up. You got to check his Twitter. He says, so in an official article, Ahsoka, Boba Fett, and Bo-Katan are talked about as being rumored to appear. Lucasfilm Limited had to approve this. It's happening. Now, yeah, I don't know. I think it's happening. I'm not sure if that means it's happening or not. But, you know, if... I don't know. I can't be able to come up with an analogy. But, you know, we don't know whether it's been approved or not. The wording leaves room, a bit of wiggle room. But I sure expect them. I sure expect them. Hey, if you want to support the podcast, get some Mandalorian Season 2 Fever and a high-quality, limited-edition, screen-printed, not digitally printed, T-shirt. We have got the Steel Wars Yodi Hawk T-shirts and hoodies up for pre-order. We've also got stickers that are about to hit, and they ship, stickers ship in the next week. The T-shirts and fleece ship next month. So we'll be producing very few extras. So if you want to check that out, that's at merchostore.com. There is a link in the show notes. And of course, it is based on the my favorite skateboard graphic of all time, Tony Hawk's Pal Peralta Screaming Chicken Head Skull Deal. So check that out if you're on the live stream. And as I mentioned, if you watch this on YouTube, you can it's up every day at 12 thereabouts on the live chat. If you want to listen to it on audio, I will put the first episode up each week on the normal regular feed that's on iTunes and all those places, Downcast, Google Play, Ask Jeeves, Net, wherever. But if you want the convenience of getting all the audio of the YouTube news and you just want to listen to it, join the Steel Wars Patreon Content Club. At just the $1 a month level, you get all the YouTube stuff in audio form on the feed, as well as every main episode, every numbered episode of Steel Wars in full and interruption free. At $3 level, you get all our previous back episodes of bonus content. There is over 600 Q&As, commentaries, comedy live festival shows. It's there's a gamut. You will be kept very, very busy. So check all that. It will unlock all these cool stuff. We've also got the new Star Wars You Buy podcast in video form. That is up on YouTube. Also, Sean asks, no Boba Cape love. Hey, mate, we'll save it for the March Madness. We're going to be doing this. Finally, I will just check out what is on Google's Star Wars news. Let's quick news. Let's see what's up. Mulan release leads to 68 spike in Disney Plus app downloads. Woo! Wow. Well, that worked. 10 best TV shows to watch on Disney Plus. Not much Star Wars stuff in the... Oh, sorry. It's gone to Disney Plus news, not Star Wars news. I was like, why is Mulan so in this so much? Star Wars news. Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker Yellow's lightsaber art leaks. All right. Let's. If this is just from a book, it's not a leak. Oh, okay. So it's from StarWarsNews.net, and it is actually from the new lightsaber book. So that is pretty cool. That is an actual thing. Yeah, Mandalorian First Look. Screen Rant, every Clone Wars season finale ranked. Gosh. Okay. So I'm sure in the next day that is going to turn all Mandalorian season two. And why shouldn't it? Join me and our buddy Corey tomorrow for what should be a lively and fun Star Wars chat. I cannot wait for that. Thanks so much for watching, for listening, for supporting the pod. And may that force be with you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.